The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Rotten Tomatoes is Wrong. It's your girl, Jacqueline, back again with my lovely co-host, Mr. Mark Ellis.
Lovely's the word, Jacqueline.
I mean, should we call you handsome? I could say handsome.
No, I don't pull off handsome. Lovely, I'll take. I'll take a rugged, you know.
Rugged, not, ooh.
But if you're talking about the king of rugged, it's probably the star of the movie that we have on hand today because, I mean, the star of the movie that we're talking about isn't here.
No, he is not here, but he does personify rugged. Yes,
rugged,
of course.
Handsome.
We're talking about a man who really does need no introduction, but before we get to him, I want to make sure.
His opening act. Get ready.
His opening act. Absolutely.
Seriously. I want to make sure that we know we have an incredible guest with us today. Of course, I'm talking about Candace Cruz. She is an actor, on-air host. Candace is an entertainment expert for NBCLX. I want to say XL every time I see it. Candace, welcome.
Thank you for having me. I mean, can I actually be his opening act, please?
I mean, I think he's a good guy to go ahead of. I mean, especially if his ending is This is Sparta. But if he says Angel Has Fallen too, I would honestly be here for it.
Every one of his movies, like a lot of stuff gets blown up and destroyed. So you probably do want to go before Gerard Butler and not after Gerard Butler.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he's got a trilogy of movies and we're celebrating what I'm just going to put this out there now. I think that the movie we're talking about today is the best of said trilogy.
You think it's the best of said trilogy?
Yes.
I don't think that the tomato meter agrees with either one of y'all, but...
Then it's wrong, Jacqueline!
But that is what we're here to discuss today. That's right, folks. We're talking about the 2019 classic film, Angel Has Fallen. 39% rotten on the tomato meter, but it has a 93% audience score. If there was ever a time for folks to be divided, it is definitely out on this. We were talking about this because Mr. Gerard Butler, the man that personifies the moniker Rugged, has another film coming out, Plane, on January 13th. If it's Gerard Butler and they're blowing stuff up, you might find me there. But we're going to talk about this one. Also, we want to give a shout out to our Gerard Butler guide on Rotten Tomatoes at Editorial. That's where you can find all of his films ranked from top to bottom. And also RT Essentials, Gerard Butler. You can find that on our OTT channels and on YouTube. Before we get there, though, I want to go ahead and have... this person next to me gave this great synopsis because let me guess, and this is not saying that I haven't watched the film, I have, but I'm just going to go ahead and guess something has fallen Gerard Butler is there to pick it up.
Yeah.
But I will let you go ahead and give us the synopsis.
You want to know what that something that's fallen is? The sky. It's all going to crap, folks. Luckily, we have Mike Banning, who is the Secret Service agent, former Secret Service agent, played by Gerard Butler here. He is he's sort of implicated in a failed assassination attempt. He has to escape from that. Then he's got to escape the FBI. And so basically every government agency is looking for this guy, but he is on a desperate mission to uncover the truth. Luckily, it's not just him because we also have... Is everybody sitting down? Is everybody prepared?
Yeah.
Oh, ready. Man. Nick Nolte shows up. It's amazing. Danny Houston's in here. You get a little bit of Morgan Freeman. So this is just such a fun movie. And it is the culmination of Olympus Has Fallen, where the White House is sort of being taken over. That's like the code for the White House is being taken over, I guess. And then London Has Fallen. And London is another place in the world that's important. So we had to go stop that.
Well, it was another,
Angel Has Fallen.
Another kidnapping attempt. But this time, it's the White House. It's like the Tower of London and Kensington Palace and over there, right?
I remember Angela Bassett being great in that movie.
Yes. And she was great in both.
She was. And I don't remember much else about London Has Fallen. I remember London Has Fallen being like, all right. I don't know that we're going to get any more of these. And then we got... Angel Has Fallen.
They redeemed themselves.
Thank you. Because I would say Rotten Tomatoes is wrong. I'll kick off that round table. I'm going to say Rotten Tomatoes is wrong, is that this should be a fresh movie, because what do you go see this movie for? You want a lot of slam bang action, mm-hmm. some ridiculousness, sure, but Gerard Butler's great. He can carry an action movie asleep, and he's wide awake in this, and I really had fun with all the twists and turns, the explosions. Nick Nolte's in it. Come on.
Nick Nolte's in it really is the tagline for this movie. And all we need...
Nick Nolte's in it.
Done.
That's all we need. Like, it's my ticket's bought. Nick Nolte's in it. But before we go too far, I definitely want to make sure, Candace, you tell me specifically, is Rotten Tomatoes wrong? And you can give me a brief reason why, but we'll just leave it at that. Is Rotten Tomatoes wrong about Angel Has Fallen at 39% rotten?
Hands down. The audience had it right. They flipped the numbers. They 93, the numbers. 39, hello. I mean, it is a standalone film. Mark and I were talking about this before, is that I watched this one first and was like, oh, there's others?
Okay.
I don't really need to watch the others. I did, but they were kind of okay. They were like every other White House movie that's everything's fallen and you got to save the president. You save the president. End of story. But this one, there was so much more to it. And people have obviously fallen in love with Gerard Butler and all of his movies and fallen in love with Mike Banning. The cast alone, I thought the story was solid. It was solid. I really tried to find holes to poke into and I was like,
there's none there.
There's none.
See,
it's a solid action movie.
Nick Nolte plugs all holes.
I would say solid does not a recommendation in there lie, but I will give you solid is better than the score that has been given.
All right.
I will give you that. Okay. Mark, what about you? Right. Where do you fall on this one?
Very wrong. Should be fresh. This is not hard. This is a very easy. I think this is probably the freshest of the group, because when Olympus Has Fallen, I was like, that's a really great premise. And I liked the movie. I thought it was better than the movie released later that year that was very similar, White House Down. I thought that Olympus Has Fallen is better. London Has Fallen, I was like, whatever. But Angel Has Fallen, it's exactly what I wanted in an action movie where I just get to stuff a bunch of popcorn in my face and root for somebody who's relatable. And we've seen this kind of movie before. It's been done in Mission Impossible movies where it's not just one agency. It's every government agency that's all running after you. And maybe you can trust one or two other people, and that's our mission. It feels impossible, not for the rugged handsomeness of Gerard Butler.
It's interesting you say the rugged handsomeness. There is an everyman quality of Gerard Butler, which I will say for everything that I do like about this film, it very much lies in his everyman. But how many movies is it's like, this is Gerard Butler, and he is just like the best version of a confused dad that any of these situations could call for, just doing that? And that's great, but he's still essentially playing the same role over and over and over again. And I think that's the issue I have with both this movie and maybe why it has the score that it has. Because I think it's the first Olympus Has Fallen, which I actually watched first and did really enjoy.
Okay.
I barely do remember also London Has Fallen. I do remember it, I think, more than Mark.
We're such Americans.
We are.
But there was another country. It's
London, we don't care.
I watched it, though. But the kicker I will say about it is that I think Angel Has Fallen, even under its best and most like positive aspirations, I cannot make this movie go over 55.
Really?
I cannot. Because in the back of my mind, it is still the same movie. It does not do anything different. It's great in the sense that it's a new style of it.
Yeah.
It is definitely a new setting. It is definitely a new premise. It's essentially like, yeah, they put these folks in a different house and the house is built differently than the first two, but we are still doing the same things.
We're all dancing around this issue, okay? Die Hard is like the best, you know, sort of action movie of all time / Christmas movie. And the first three movies are a trilogy, right? And they're a wonderful trilogy. But again, it's like John McClane even says it. How many times can the same stuff happen to the same guy? How can the same thing happen to the same guy twice? So if this is like the lower rent version of Die Hard, then I think then you look at Gerard Butler as like that every man that's not quite as relatable or as charismatic as Bruce Willis in his prime, but he's damn close. And so if you can't get new Die Hard movies, which they've tried and they haven't been good, I'll take the Fallen franchise.
And I will say that is the part of this that sort of like the glue that holds it all together is the fact that Gerard Butler is our new version of John McClane. He's not as smart. He's not as cool, but he's still the guy that you want to see make it to the end. And so that's the reason why I'm like, I'm going to be this person again. It's wrong-ish. It ain't that wrong. It ain't that wrong.
She's giving me the look. She's like, it's not that wrong.
Like, Gerard Butler has a lot of skills. He's got a lot of talents.
Aren't you impressed, though, that like...
Not all of them are on display in this movie.
No, and also, when Gerard Butler comes on screen in this movie, he's not as young, he's not as handsome. He does look like me, and the character has ailments.
Yeah.
He's lived a life. You can see it on his face, and you're like, okay. But then that gives me even more affirmation of why this is a cool movie. You can still do that crap. And I'm like, I could do that.
Yeah, because like I was probably hungover when I saw the movie in theaters. And I'm like, this guy's clearly been through many hangovers. Yeah. See, I can relate to this guy.
All I see in this movie is I'm like, man, alcohol really is a carcinogen.
Yes, it is.
Oh, yes.
Yes, and you
see it on his face. And also, I will say, too, we talked about this. We're going to go into movie talk. We'll go ahead and go into 2 minutes, Tim. But we definitely talked about this. You can watch this series and definitely see Jared Butler just slowly let himself a little bit go.
Just a little.
Like, just say, you know what?
He saved the president. He saved parts of London.
He saved two presidents,
mind you. He doesn't need to save himself for the gym. You're right. He doesn't need to save. I'm not trying to body shame the man. I'm just saying you can tell that he was not as invested in the physical aspect of the performance.
He's not 300.
Towards the latter part of the series. Yeah. That's all I will say.
If I was in 300. And I had those abs, I would never work out another day. I'd be like, I'm in the Hall of Fame.
Would just let them go?
And I think he did that because he's never even attempted since then.
There's a certain point you get to at the gym where I want to go up to like some dudes I work out with and I'm like, hey, you won.
You can stop now.
Here's your trophy.
You just
retire.
Sit. Let us all catch up.
Yeah, save some room for the rest of us.
You can be bench
and
now.
And me, I'm like the Hamilton song. I will never be satisfied. Joking. I am very satisfied. You all, this is a visual medium. You know, I am very satisfied.
She looks
satisfied.
Great, doesn't she?
Shut up.
We're proud
all right,
of her.
We're going to go ahead and go to another part of this visual medium. We're going to go to our favorite segment, 2 Minutes with Tim.
2 Minutes with Tim.
Here's a quick overview of the Has Fallen franchise to date. Critics found Olympus Has Fallen to be a reasonably entertaining action thriller in the die-hard mode. Critics found London Has Fallen to be substantially more generic and substantially more jingoistic. Critics found Angel Has Fallen to be right in the middle, a solid if unspectacular action flick with a decent sense of humor and a strong supporting turn from Nick Nolte. Angel Has Fallen is rotten at 39% on the tomato meter with 191 reviews, and it has a 93% audience score. And just for comparison, Olympus Has Fallen from 2013 is rotten at 50%, and London Has Fallen from 2016 is rotten at 27%. In a rotten review, Soren Anderson of the Seattle Times wrote, Angel Has Fallen plays out exactly as you would expect from a potboiler of this type. No surprises here, other than that it exists at all. However, in a fresh review, Mick LaSalle of the San Francisco Chronicle wrote, Butler can do more, but he's so good at doing this one thing that it has become his brand. That might be a blessing and a curse, but if it's a curse, there are worse curses. The Rotten Tomatoes critics' consensus reads, cut from the same rough cloth as its predecessors, Angel Has Fallen rounds out a mostly forgettable action trilogy in fittingly mediocre fashion. So that's Angel Has Fallen and a brief overview of the Has Fallen movies. Back to you, folks.
Way to go, Tim.
The shade is real.
Barely. He's done something right. You might as well keep going.
Hey, listen, I am not mad if I still enjoy the first iteration as much as the last. And in this case, I do think I will. I just think these scores should be reversed. I think the first score should have been around 40-something or 39-40. Okay. And I believe this one should be a little bit higher. Because I do agree that this is a much better film than it gives itself away to be on the score. But I don't know. Before we talk any more about what Tim said there, because he gave us a lot to chew on, let's go ahead and throw it to movie talk.
I like how he said it's cut from the same cloth.
That's literally what threw me, is like he was getting Shakespearean in his 2 Minutes with Tim.
But he said cloth, and I started to think, well, okay, what's tougher than cloth? Like chainmail. But then I was like, oh, isn't cheesecloth something that like, I think cheesecloth. Yeah, it's like a thing you clean. I don't know how to clean anything, but I think cheesecloth, it's like a rougher, more tumble cloth.
It is.
But also, when you talk about cheese, some people would say that this is a cheesy movie. I don't agree with that. I enjoy cheese and I celebrate cheese, but I feel like cheesecloth would be an accurate description for this movie.
First, let's go ahead and clear this up, because this is a franchise, and although we're not talking about the whole franchise, we do have to go ahead and say, Mark, is this the best one?
Yes, this is the best one of the three, because I think you like seeing Olympus Has Fallen because that's more of a simple premise where, okay, something's happened at the White House, we need to go stop it. But I sort of like when action movies are able to go completely batshit, right?
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, this is happening, then this is happening, and everybody thinks I did it. And we somehow are able to weave that into like a somewhat cohesive narrative. Mm-hmm. I think this movie pulls off, and in between get a lot of action set pieces. So yes, you do need some additional firepower. Luckily, Nick Nolte does show up as Mike Banning's dad for some reason, yeah. who is also an explosives expert. You get Morgan Freeman in this, but the thing that sells me on it is there's like this weird backstory that you pick up on between Mike Banning, Gerard Butler's character, and Danny Houston's character. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They clearly have worked together before, and it's one of my favorite scenes in the movie is up top where it's like they're still buddies and Mike is kind of showing everybody the ropes on this training course. But then Danny Houston like wants to have a drink with them or wants to have dinner with them, and it's like, wait a minute. I don't trust this. I don't trust what this guy's motives are. Mm-hmm. Compounded by the fact that it's Danny Houston playing it. And as much as I love Danny Houston, I'm sure he's a sweetheart in person. You can't trust that guy too much in movies.
Every movie he shows up to and you're like, who are you going to betray first?
Of course.
You know what's great about this is the beginning of the movie, Gerard Butler basically plays James Bond anytime he's anywhere. Yes. And this is like the lighter or like Robbie that played Hagrid, that actor. Robbie Coltrane played this version in GoldenEye. You know what I mean? You had the Spanish guy in Skyfall plays his character. It's a character you need to trust, but you don't want to. Yep. The pseudo, like that guy, I don't disagree with him. That's also what makes me feel like these are James Bond movies. They just always have the same setup.
But Gerard Butler is no James Bond.
Yes.
But I love him, but let's
wow.
say the truth.
Well, we found a limit to Candace's love. Okay.
I was literally about to say, this is a James Bond movie in the sense that that's the premise they're setting up, but this is not him. But do you think this is his best version of what he does in this series? Because that was my question I was going to bring to you is, is this the best of what Gerard Butler is? I'm thinking this might be for you. You don't seem a big fan.
I think out of all three, yes, hands down. Because I think this has more, like you were talking about, there's an underlying story that is more so than bang 'em up, shoot 'em up movies that we always see. Like the White House is coming down, the president, we got it. But the story between the two that have come prior to, they have their past. They serve together. And even the nuances of just the looks at the end, like when that's the final like showdown and he even looks at him and he's sitting down with him on the floor while he dies and says, I'm glad it was you. Like there's so much undertone to it that it gives a little bit more heart to an action film. So I think maybe that's why I like it so much more.
This is not just on this series, but like of all, how much Gerard Butler have you seen? I should ask. But of all the Gerard Butler have you seen, is this still the pinnacle?
No, I love P.S. I Love You and Phantom of the Opera. So I'm a rom-com fan, but I love that he's branched out into this action world after 300 and like the bang 'em up, shoot 'em up, I guess, is what I like to always call them.
He was
like
in a good rom-com, too. What was the one that was ridiculous, but I still enjoyed watching them? Gerard Butler's just watchable. And so the one that he did with Katherine Heigl.
That's the awful truth. Yeah.
Yes.
It's not a good movie, but I still enjoyed watching
it. I liked it. Yeah.
Well, the original The Awful
That's
Truth.
That's all that matters.
I think it's 1963 Awful Truth that I think is, don't quote me on this one, Cinephiles, but I think it's Cary Grant. Don't quote me on this one, but the original Awful Truth is amazing. I wish you would have seen that.
Is it
that
the
one.
Ugly Truth or the Awful Truth?
Ugly Truth.
Is the Ugly Truth? I ugly say truth. Awful Truth, Ugly Truth. Ugly the truth. Original Ugly Truth is much better than this one.
And he's also great as the one of the primary voices in the How to Train Your Dragon movies.
Oh my gosh, I forgot about
that's
that.
That's like when you look at his tomato meter, it's like, oh yeah, he's in like Den of Thieves and all this stuff. But it's like, oh right, he's the dad in How to Train Your Dragon.
Den of Thieves is another one. So I will just say this. Pinnacle of Gerard Butler being an action star, 300.
Yes.
Pinnacle of Gerard Butler doing anything else, Phantom of the Opera.
Mm-hmm.
The movie that Gerard Butler does that I wish more people would watch and appreciate him for is The Dragon one. Because I had forgotten about that.
How to Train a Dragon.
Yeah. I forgot about it.
Those movies, when you talk about the great trilogies of all time, and I'm putting all time up there.
Oh, wow.
I'll put classic Star Wars. I'll put The Lord of the Rings. You know, Back to the Future, the first one is so good. I think it helps carry the other two. But How to Train Your Dragon movies, like the Toy Story movies.
Yeah.
If we're just talking animated, I put How to Train Your Dragon up there with any of it. And Gerard Butler is great as lending that sort of fatherly, you know, he can be imposing, but he can also have a heart. And you don't see as much of that here, but you see a little bit of it. Like there's something about it, and it might factor in with dudes more than anybody else, is when we go see an action movie, we do want a character we can relate to.
Uh-huh.
You know, we want a character we can either aspire to be, which is why Schwarzenegger and Stallone were so big in the 80s and 90s, is because, I want a body like that.
Yeah.
But I think that from Die Hard and then into some other movies like The Rock, where Nicolas Cage just gets thrown into this scenario. Mm. And then we have Gerard Butler's of the world come up. It's like, oh, I actually believe I could do that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, I can't. And I actually don't look like Gerard Butler. But I'm like, oh, no, he's wearing a shirt. I wear a shirt like that. I could pull that off.
Yeah. Hey, look. And that sort of like representation matters.
There it is.
Hey, there it is. I like
even
it.
For white guys like myself.
Even
schlubby straight white boys like me.
I'm not saying that that was you. You're not on the schlubby side, but that's who that avatar is.
Oh, trust
me. It's definitely going
after
for
this last holiday season, I can get schlubby real quick.
I have never heard that word before. That's a new one for me.
Yeah, I mean, I just say it's
oh,
like.
Oh, good. Now you'll always associate the term schlubby with
no,
Mark Ellis.
I would say, I would say Mark is very far from a dad bod. He is being very generous on that one, but this is who the avatar is to represent.
Yes.
So I'm not gonna say
great,
that.
Great summation of my long-winded diatribe.
No.
Gerard Butler's all of our avatars.
It's not a bad one to have, I will just say. This is still a man
exactly.
that gets thirsted.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait till you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I will say this. Okay, so I'm going to put a little bit of homework. So I'm going to go to Mark because I feel like if I put you on the spot right now, you're going to be like, girl, really? You're going to make me do math?
I have a phone.
He's used to this. He's
prepare
used
to Google.
To this.
Go.
So, give me your favorite rated at about 60% on the tomato meter movie. Which movie do you have Ooh. In that sort of range that you love?
As far as like action movies go?
Any movie.
I'll try to keep it in that sort of genre that we're talking about.
Yeah.
And it would probably be a Van Damme movie that's like a Hard Target, something like
yeah.
that,
mm-hmm.
where, again, you realize that this is very like highly stylized action, but the way it's shot and it's just so, it's so cool to watch the action sequences, which you also get in Angel Has Fallen.
Yeah.
But I'll also say, like, if you're looking at Die Hard sort of knockoffs,
yeah.
there was a slew of them. The early 90s were fun.
They were.
We got a lot of Die Hard knockoffs.
Yep.
Under Siege was
yeah.
great.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's probably higher than 60%, deservedly
it's definitely
so.
Higher than, yeah.
The Van Damme movie, Sudden Death,
wow.
where oh. it's a Die Hard at a hockey game. Where this is like game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals, and Van Damme's kid really wants to go, and he plays a firefighter, and wouldn't you know, Powers Booth is going to hold the entire arena hostage. Luckily, Van Damme is there. He sneaks into the goalie uniform at one point. Amazing, amazing movie.
I dig that one. Okay, so do you have a movie around that range where it's like, it's just barely sort of freshish that you like?
Like the more cheesier of the action
movies,
I would say.
The cheesy action movie that you like that's in that range. Because what I was going to ask Mark is, give me the reason why Olympus Has Fallen should rank above that Hard Target.
Well,
because this is the thing. Like, why should this be fresh? Because I can honestly say I think this movie is better than its score. Absolutely. I would be hard-pressed to say it's better than The Last Dragon, which is my action movie that's around 50 to 60%
okay.
that's cheesy and...
Okay.
You know
I'm going to put it into context like this then. I think that there's a demographic of people, mm-hmm. especially around the holiday season, that cannot get enough of holiday movies.
True.
And it doesn't really
Hi.
Matter the quality of it. Candace
okay.
Cruz, perfect example, because you could probably watch a all-time Christmas movie. You know, you could put It's a Wonderful Life,
mm-hmm.
you could do a modern one, Home Alone, Elf, something like that. But you could also put on anything that Hallmark puts out and be like, oh, this is just
okay.
my comfort holiday movie food.
Mm-hmm.
So I can do action movies. I think maybe my appetite for watching an action movie like this that can feel reductionist and can feel sort of the same as what we've just seen as all of its predecessors, but it still is different enough, and it makes me feel the comfort that I'm seeking from an action movie. So is Angel Has Fallen better than Hard Target? I can't necessarily say that. It's fresh. But I also think Hard Target's very fresh. So I think action movies are
if you don't want to pick the movie, just imagine your mind. What makes this one compelling to be a fresh movie? I did that logic though.
All right. What makes this compelling? You know, I was rewatching it again this morning and I watched it like a couple weeks ago and I was like really trying to find holes to put in it because for me, I love this genre of movie, but it's not my go-to. My go-to is always like a rom-com or a fantasy. So when I watch these, most of the time, they are all pretty much the same track. You have someone kidnapped. You have to beat all the bad guys, shoot everything up. There's a lot of explosions. There's not really a storyline. And then that's the end of it. This one, to me, had multiple storylines. So I think that that's why I loved it so much.
And the father-son
The wife not really knowing his backstory and having the friendship come back and really getting to know him more on a different level, being a father now. He's on the verge of death because now he's going to the doctor and finding out that he has problems that are not probably going to be resolved. Then you've got a president that he's friends with, that he has a relationship with. Like, there's so many different storylines within it that I feel like it supersedes a lot of other action movies to me.
Okay. I think those are all compelling enough, but I still come back. This is what I would say. This movie got smaller in a lot of ways, which allowed so many other things to get heightened, like the performances, like especially Nick Nolte. Mm-hmm. Like he's just chewing every bit of scenery. Like
he may not know he's in a movie.
You know what I mean?
He
can possibly do.
We were just at his house for that scene.
But there's not a single aspect of it that I found to be particularly noteworthy.
Okay.
what I'm saying?
Okay.
And I feel like if I'm going to say that a film is fresh, I have to at least point to one thing. And it can be like the smallest of things. Like it can be something as simple as, you know, the heart that's behind Die Hard. If nothing else there's like a real heart and emotional resonance to Die Hard that elevates it above every other action movie that did everything else that it does.
Okay.
Right?
I watch a lot of action movies. I still haven't been able to put my finger on exactly why this is true. I don't know why the Die Hards, the first three Die Hards are great in my opinion, including Die Hard 2.
Yep.
And then Live Free or Die Hard and A Good Day to Die Hard, no thank you.
Mm-hmm.
But somehow, you mentioned James Bond earlier. We always get excited for a new James Bond adventure, even though they're all the same. And we always get excited for a new Mission Impossible movie, even though they're all the same.
Both of those two movies do a very good job of making sure that the emotional resonance behind it is never cheap.
This
was a movie that tried to make a cheap, emotional.
So the storyline Candace is talking about didn't hit home with you.
Because it felt artificial. Everything about this felt artificial.
Why are you swaying me right now? This is not okay.
It wasn't that they didn't do what they needed to do. In fact, they did do what they need to do, and that's what you guys found. This was the thing. If it's going to be a movie that I have to at least point to fresh, I got to be like, okay, yeah, they did it, but they did this not just like exceptional. I don't need you to give me the Steven Spielberg tracking shot, but I need to see some aspect of either the storytelling, the cinema, the performances, whatever, that really marked it. The biggest thing about this is it seemed they got actors that wanted to just chew the scenery. That does not really, that happens in a trauma movie. That doesn't really like kick this one apart. And the thing that they could have done well, they really kind of mailed in.
What could they have done well?
The emotional resonance behind this to actually drive the story. It just felt so forced. Everything that was about emotion of why these people are here, what they care about, all of that stuff felt so contrived.
Well,
and the whole thing is contrived. I'm not trying to pretend that it's not.
Right.
But like, give me something.
I feel like I can forgive some of it because it, like with a movie like that, I think it's similar in horror movies. Like we talked about Bride of Chucky last week where, you know, is it the best movie I've ever seen? No, but you're willing to forgive some aspects of it because you're having such a good time.
You
found this one character that you can kind of glom onto. And with this, I think with every new action set piece that we get in Angel Has Fallen, even more so than Olympus in London, there's somebody else involved and there's like a new player and it's always like refreshing. That's why my favorite scene in this movie is where we get to meet Nick Nolte and all of his explosive wonders.
That was so cool.
And he had the tunnel.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was just like this guy's been preparing for this.
He was ready
for longer than Jamie Lee Curtis has been preparing for the return of Michael Myers. Like,
absolutely.
He's been training for this for no less than 40 years.
And he, people thought he was crazy. And guess what? He wasn't crazy in the end.
He wasn't crazy.
But can I ask you a question, though? You were saying that it felt superficial. What storyline of all the ones that I said would have been the one that needed to go deeper?
It's not about needed to go deeper.
Okay.
It was like, this movie is a movie that makes you turn off your brain and enjoy it.
Yes.
When I keep seeing these contrivances, I just keep being like, oh. It feels like a sweater that itches. It's like, this is a sweater and I'm in it, but it itches.
If I ignore the itch long enough, it's still comfortable.
But it's still itchy sweater.
It's still itchy. You just can't think about it.
That family does not make sense. I do not believe for 1 second that this is real.
That he ended up with Piper Parabou?
You know what I mean?
Then you need to do what Candace and I did, because Candace and I wore this like a t-shirt and now they make t-shirts. I love how they manufacture clothing now, because
that
you put on
great.
A t-shirt and you just rip the tag off. Back in the day, in the old days, you had to get out scissors and you had to cut it. And sometimes you didn't cut the tag right. It would even be sharper.
Oh, and it'd be worse.
Now you just rip the tag off. I ripped the tag off going into this movie.
And again, this was not a movie where it's the movie's fault. It's not even the movie's fault, because the very first one is the one that I would have given the highest score ever. This movie did not have that benefit. And so by the time it got there, it's like, this is a movie where this needed to be the first time you saw it for you to love it as much, I think.
But I did see it for the first time, so maybe that's why I love it, because I saw this one first out of sequence.
It's funny, because I had one of our friends at Rotten Tomatoes, Edric. I was telling him when I was shooting something else in studio, and he was asking me like, oh yeah, so Angel was Fallen. Like, do I need to see the other two? And I was like, you do not need to see the other two.
I didn't even know there were other Fallens. And then I looked and I was like, oh, there's other Fallens. I guess I should watch them.
Yeah.
Sure.
If this movie was the only one, I would give it an entire different rating. I would actually be with you guys, too, to be like, you know what? It probably needs to be fresh.
Yeah.
If you're doing it a third time like this, like, I don't know. It feels like, honestly, it feels like late seasons of certain shows, like when they repeat storylines.
Can I tell you something to get excited for that? Well, maybe Candace might be more than Jacqueline. Thing. We may not just have three movies.
Yes, true.
We may have the rumor titles. Night has fallen.
Yes,
and I don't know how far along we are. I don't know if this is actually in reality or if I'm just trying to speak it into existence. But
it's fairly soon, I think.
The impressive thing about if we get Night has fallen, that we got this trilogy, is that I'm taking this the other way. Where if you compare this to the Diehards of the world and the Mission Impossible's James Bond, maybe it doesn't hold up.
No.
But there's a number of movies that just go direct to VOD with big time stars, or maybe of yesteryear. You know, Nick Cage was doing that forever. Wills was doing that forever. Yeah. Travolta's doing that forever. It's pretty impressive to see the staying power of Gerard Butler in a movie theater and still be able to pull some numbers. Because if you look at the box office for these movies, they do pretty well. The worldwide gross for Angel's Fallen, $147 million off a budget of $40 million, which means you get to make another movie. Hopefully Night is Fallen. But all of these movies have done boffo box office. They have combined grossed over $500 million worldwide, and the total budget for all three combined is $170 million. So they're turning a profit.
And now they're making them for 40, which is another thing that I thought was interesting with Angel Has Fallen. For the fact that the price got lower, they definitely didn't lose a ton, because they just made it smaller. They made it more, you know, obviously you're trying to get to Nick Nolte, and then it's like, you know, two men in a room and they're going at it.
Yeah.
It's also nice to have all the sets that you made from the first two if you need to go.
Yes, exactly.
The first one costs the most to make, and I'm willing to bet recreating the White House ain't cheap.
Exactly. Or, you know, maybe reuse footage. You never know. They do that at times as well. I wanted to also to ask you about this one, Ms. Cruz, because this is the other part of it that I think is a little bit interesting, in the sense where you may think better or worse for it.
Okay.
Are all the scenes that you love, do you love them ironically, or do you love them as they are?
I was like, I don't know.
Yeah, don't answer right away.
Do you really like, because some scenes, one of my favorite scenes that I love in the movie Elvis is, I love it ironically. And it's the scene where like they see him playing and they like zoom in on it. And it's like, he's why? I cannot tell you the reason why I like that movie is because it was a cinematic moment. I laughed at it because it's a bunch of white people screaming, he's why? Really? It's the most hilarious thing in the world.
Yeah.
So I love that scene. Ironically,
there's
a ton of those scenes in Olympus and Angel Has Fallen, excuse me. So are all of them like, give me your ironic best scene, or maybe your best scene overall?
Oh,
because there are scenes like that in this movie where it's like, dude, like it's just the comical amount of guns he has. It's the comical. It's the comical way that Gerard Butler, like, in one of the moments, he's like, you know, I'm too old for this crap, like trying to dodge stuff. You know, like, well, all
yeah,
of
because
that.
He should have been hit multiple times.
Exactly.
There are multiple times that where that man should have died.
Exactly.
And someone's gun was just empty in that one opportune moment.
Energizer yes. Bunny type stuff that happens to him, you laugh
He's
at.
Lucky.
When this person, oh, yeah, his gun pops now. His gun can't shoot now. That, I crack up.
Just compare Gerard Butler to the Energizer Bunny?
I mean, I feel like he's at the end of that Energizer Bunny, but yes, he's still going.
Mm-hmm.
I think as is, I don't think there was too much. I mean, maybe I'm missing it, but I don't think there's too much irony. I feel like it's very point blank for what it is.
Oh, no, I meant more like if you enjoy it, ironically, like this is absurd and campy. And so therefore you're laughing at how absurd and campy it is.
Nick Nolte, when he's pulling all of his traps in the woods, that alone is just like...
It's,
what?
Yeah, it's heightened. It's like, wait, this guy
and
just
has... And
then
there's more. There's another one.
He's
and another
got
one.
Nothing but time on his hands.
Thank you.
And
that's
money.
What I'm
Where
saying.
Is this money coming from? Where is the artillery coming from?
I'm not like, watching that for the way this screenwriter wanted to. So, I'm laughing at this because this is absurd as hell. So I'm sort of
that
watching
would be
it.
That
era.
Scene.
Yeah.
Like, I'm interested to watch this movie again in maybe like 10 years and just kind of think about what you said as far as enjoying and leaning into the hilarious, ironical nature of some of this because... For instance, Hard Target is a movie like that for me because John Woo directed it and he loves his slow-mo and he loves his like epic sort of hero shots and Van Damme wanted all of those in the movie. Yeah. So there's one scene in Hard Target where he doesn't get the crew job that he wanted and so now he's going to help this girl look for her dad around New Orleans and there's a bunch of barrels that are slowly being moved out of the way. She's parked waiting for the barrels to move and as soon as the barrels move, it's Van Damme.
Yeah.
Just
of course.
And it's just like the slowest motion walk and it's like, what are we doing here?
Yes.
But when I saw it in eighth grade, I was like, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
So I'm interested to see it again, but I think that action movies today have taken a cue from all, they've stood on the shoulders. They've done what Jeff Goldblum says you should not do in Jurassic Park.
Mm-hmm.
And they've looked and they've studied from those and they've sort of looked at game film like you would. If you just played a game, you're like, we can clean that up a little bit. I think that there's less stuff to like laugh out loud at and more it's just like you're kind of chuckling
I'm replaying in my head trying to think of it.
Yeah, we're in on the joke. I'm not by any means pretending that we're not, but it's the absurdity of the Energizer Bunny. Yeah, this guy continues to do what he does. Does like again just the absurdity of them being in the same situation. I think there's a line in this movie where it's like not again where he's like basically this
everyone
is, yeah you know what I mean like
I like when they do that though. I
he
I
kept
do.
Getting captured and kept escaping
exactly
and then it keeps somehow supporting the other guy's plan by him getting escaping. They should be like, oh well, he's escaped. Shouldn't we be more on his side than the other? No, this proves our point. No.
And I will say the movie is also in on these jokes because of the part that I like on this one, because again, this was the movie that we assumed there would be no Morgan Freeman.
Right.
And that was the other reason why I think this one even took me. I know I watched this on Netflix. I know I did not like go to the theater to watch this. This was definitely a Netflix.
You missed
like,
a treat.
Up.
Delicious popcorn at that theater.
But that was a great moment for it too. And that also, I think, proves their whole thing just because of how they do that scene. And that's like one of my favorite ones at the end of there. But
it's almost like they're breaking the fourth wall.
Exactly.
Without looking at the camera and being like, well, that was wacky. But like when they say stuff like, I'm like the Danny Glover, I'm too old for this.
Yes,
exactly. Or it's Morgan Freeman showing up or they just lean into something. It's just letting the audience know I appreciate it because I've seen a crap ton of action movies in my life.
Yeah.
And it's sort of like, hey, we know you're an action movie fan. We're going to just throw that little
bone.
It is just like the Pinhead. The thing about this movie is because it's doing it well, it's great, but most of its referential stuff is on itself.
Mm-hmm.
That's another reason why I'm saying, like, again, it's not that it's bad. It's just I know what they're trying to do and they do it very well.
They tick all the marks.
Yeah, they tick all
it's a check mark.
That's
they did
exactly,
the check mark and that
you.
Is it.
And that is it. Yeah. And that is great, but that is just not a movie that I got to be all like, "Woo, we need, you know what I mean? Like we need to see."
Maybe it's cuz I set my expectations.
Yeah.
And maybe that's why I'm fighting so hard for is that I set my expectation that it does check the boxes. And
it
that's
does
it.
Check and I and will
like,
never
cool,
disagree with
this
that.
This is a great movie.
It's
done.
It's a great movie I think for audiences. It's what I would call an action movie crowd pleaser. Because we've done another movie on this show that also has a confusingly low tomato meter and a certainly high audience score, and that's Man on Fire.
Yes.
With Denzel Washington. And we sort of made our way, we were talking about the hard bodies of the 80s, right?
Yeah.
And then you go into the everyman of the 90s, and now we get into this world where we are in action movies now, where it's actually like the audiences, as they age, they want to see the action star age as well, which is why Denzel Washington can still make those cool Equalizer movies.
Yeah.
Liam Neeson can rescue everybody from
Taken.
Every scenario.
Yeah.
I mean, look, if
Taken
was real, at some point, I'd stop answering my phone. Because every
I'm
time
terrified
it's a bad
still. Every
news
time
call.
I travel, I'm like, oh, God, I will find you. Okay.
And you know what really gave us this sort of episodic cinema version of this? You want to know the real thing that cemented that? People say it's Die Hard, but it wasn't. It was 24. Because Die Hard was gone. And it was 24 that sort of brought this sort of like
back.
Man against the world episodic nature again. And all of these movies are really the sons of that. And granted, it is the son of Die Hard on television.
Yeah.
But just sort of getting audiences back to that thing.
Oh, my gosh.
That's good. I just forgot about 24.
You all just witnessed what happens on this show way too often.
What?
I thought I made a great mic drop point about, you know, as the audience ages, the action star ages. And then here comes Coley.
I wasn't
with that
glitching
maker. It's 24. A great point, and I never equated it, that Jack Bauer pretty much is all of these guys. Because, again, he goes through the same stuff in one day, mind you.
In one day.
Yeah.
Yes.
Never eats, never has to take a leak. He's just doing his job. And by the end of that 24 season, he's like, I can't ever do this again.
And exactly.
And we all feel as exhausted as that. So that's a great call.
And that's also why, you know, the later innings of that show are harder for me as well, too. And I'll just stand on that. This is what's weird. If you showed me this movie randomly on a Tuesday in 10 years and it was just separated and I didn't think about it, I'd be like, cue it up. This is a
great
Saturday afternoon. But the minute I start to think about what this movie is, like I basically, to your point, oh, you're pretty. Like, that's it.
Yeah.
It's the girl that you're like, you be pretty, sweetie. And we're going to have a good time. But I can't think too hard about this because then it hurts my brain.
I feel like Gerard Butler's in that sweet spot with action movies right now, where you have like your A-listers like Tom Cruise doing the Mission Impossibles. And whoever's going to be playing James Bond next. And
I heard rumors.
I heard rumors.
And
then but then you don't go all the way down to like what's outside 7-Eleven at Redbox that I can rent. It's like that right in between. You're still in theaters.
Yes, right in between.
You're still an action star. You're just coasting. You're not like the 777 plane. You're a nice 747. You're coasting at about 20,000 feet. You know, you're not
gonna make
it. You're gonna land the plane.
You're gonna land the plane.
Gerard Butler always lands the plane or the dragon.
Does he though? Because of the next movie.
I was just saying. Honestly, his next movie is literally plane. No,
there we go.
Air Force One. No, nothing.
And I'm back in the lead after Jacqueline's 24 haymaker.
You just threw that up, and we just notched
it out. Like literally, it's like you're like he's just a plane. I'm like, yeah, just like his new movie, a plane.
And it's true because Plane comes out sometime in January this month, right? And so whereas you look at somebody who's like The Rock, who is going to have like the big 4th of July, what Will Smith used to be, like, okay, we're going to have this big action movie, and this is the tentpole of the summer. Gerard Butler has January and February, and that's Liam Neeson territory sometimes too, where it's just like, okay, early in the year where we don't want to spend, studios are saying we don't want to spend too much of our marketing budget because we got these Oscar movies we want to push, we got these big summer movies we want to push, let's just put these movies out there, we know who the audience is, and Jacqueline, if they're like Angel Has Fallen, I'm going to keep showing up.
I dig you on
gonna
that.
I'm going to keep going. And I will buy a lot of snacks. I think that's why theaters love having
the
these.
M&Ms, all the things.
What's the go-to action? Okay, let's play this game real quick.
Yeah, I will. And then we're going to get to we're going to get on movie talk. Go ahead.
You're at a theater.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And you're seeing an action movie. Mm-hmm. Okay, not a horror movie, not a comedy. I don't recommend eating at comedies, by the way.
No.
Maybe just have like a soda.
You could choke.
What is your action movie go-to meal? Starting with Candace.
Mm. Popcorn with jalapenos in it.
You're the only person I know that has ever done that.
I love it. You get the box. So you get the big bag. You get the box. You put the popcorn in. You shake it up with the jalapenos in it. And then if you want to, you can, if you're feeling real spicy, you get the nacho cheese. You can dip a little bit in there. And then you're going to have the M&Ms, peanut specifically, on the side with the large Diet Coke.
You added a few more accessories, but you know that this is my thing.
Do you jalapenos and popcorn?
We've done this together,
right? We've had this conversation, and I always thought of you as strange and different until I was on a plane not the Gerard Butler movie. I was on a real plane, and I was just overhearing these two people talk about how jalapenos and popcorn is the best movie theater trick.
It's so good.
And I got to start doing that. Like, I'm always late to the party putting anything on popcorn because popcorn is popcorn.
Standalone. Purist is good.
And so I don't even put butter on it. Just give me the popcorn as is. Yeah. But I've recently started to dabble in putting some M&Ms, some Reese's Pieces. Eliza Schlesinger and I, when we go see a movie, we'll do Sour Patch Kids. She's the one that taught me that trick, and I will forever thank her for it.
So you have now given the, so I'm not your formula, but that is my formula. So my formula is the popcorn with the jalapenos in the bag, because AMC it's normally in the bag.
Yeah.
And then I shake it, and then I take a little bit of the Parmesan that they use for the pizza or the thingies, and I like sprinkle that on the top, another little shake, and then I buy the Sour Patch Kids, but I don't put them in the bag.
Okay.
Then you just keep with the spicy, and every about fourth handful, grab a couple Sour Patch.
Cool it down.
And
cool
hopefully, God willing, your concession stand employee is as cool as Jason in Corpus Christi, Texas, who went viral the way he flips that popcorn. What a hero that guy.
Really?
I hope he's watching the show.
Oh,
yeah.
that's my home
all
theater.
Over TikTok, all over social media. The way this guy is just working the corn.
Oh, yeah. I got to check Jason out, because that is my home theaters, is the Corpus Christi theaters.
Oh, really?
That's where I first started watching stuff. Good old Corpus Christi, Texas. All right, that is going to wrap it up for us on Movie Talk. For as much as, like, we may have been, I divided on the opinion, we got through a lot. We landed this plane, ladies and gentlemen. So let's go ahead and rip open the mailbag. Brian, cue the music. Okay, kids, we have a member of the Ketchup Crew, Philip Calderon. He says, Ketchup Crew member Philip Calderon here with a Michael Bay movie request.
Oh, boy.
13 hours!
Yes!
Oh,
we are gonna get these men that are still mad since 2016. It is 51% rotten with an 82% audience score in mind. 13 Hours is Bay's best movie of the last decade and my favorite movie of his. Personally, we need to talk about this. Sincerely, Philip Calderon. I just want to go ahead and say, Philip, you did not know the shots you just fired, sir, but you have fired
some major shots. This is
your Justice League.
Are we going to be divided?
I don't know if we're going to be divided, but I think this is your Justice League.
So I famously, when Schmoes Know was doing our movie reviews, me and Christian, I gave 13 Hours 5 out of 5 Schmoes. Not a usual score for me. I was blown away by this movie. I thought it was so well done. Michael Bay knows how to do this. I wish he would stick to this kind of stuff instead of the huge robots fighting each other. My God, this movie was awesome. And this is the film. If you like that show, Jack Ryan on Amazon, this is why you have Jack Ryan, because this is the movie that turned Jim from The Office into a legit action hero. When I'm walking into this movie and I have my, you know, virgin popcorn as opposed to being all jalapenoed and M&M. I'm walking in there. This is 2016. I was still a baby. And I'm sitting down there. I'm watching. I'm like, how are they going to make John Krasinski a badass? The very first shot of him in the Middle East when they get interrogated and he just puts a gun out. I'm like, oh, I buy whatever this guy's selling.
Yeah, that was definitely when Jim
loved
him.
So good.
Jim put the thirst out there. Everybody who wondered why Emily Blunt married him knew.
Just watch that scene.
In that moment, we're like, that is what was hiding behind.
Do you know why she married him?
Why?
Because she got to him before I could.
I mean, that's what I feel about why he married her. Like, literally, look at our Mary Poppins interviews on Rotten Tomatoes, kids. You will see me. I am trying to come across that thing.
Love her.
All of you. Everything. Just talk to me like you do in Devil Wears Prada and we will make it work. And on that
we got,
note,
we got from 13 hours to Mary Poppins.
I was like, we got, that's a big jump here.
It's a big jump, but honestly, in the quest of thirsty commentary, I will make that leap.
It is pretty impressive. 13 hours, 51%. It's sort of Man on Firing. 51% with the critics, 82% with the audience. Mm-hmm. I'm a huge reason why that audience score is as high as it is.
I think we've done all of the Transformers films, and there's a new Transformer film coming out.
Yeah,
Brian, I don't know if you're thinking about this, but this might be the moment to give us some, even though it's not a Michael Bay movie, we can give Michael Bay love as there's another Transformer.
Looking at Brian like he's my parent. Brian, can we please do 13
Can we do it?
Glenn, can we please do
13 Yeah, I'm getting the thumbs up, kids. So, all right. Keep an eye out on that, Mr. Calderon. I want to again thank our host, Candace Cruz, entertainment expert for NBCXL. Before you get out of
LX.
Here. Oh, God damn.
You went extra large again.
We can be extra large.
God damn it.
We're large and in charge.
There we go.
My popcorn's going to be
extra. I'm so sorry. Candace Cruz, an entertainment expert for NBCXL. Thank you so much.
LX.
Did I do it again?
This is great. I love this. We got to keep this
in the
show.
Did we get a blooper reel? I want a blooper reel.
God damn, dyslexia. It really does fuck with you, man. Candace Cruz, thank you again for joining us. Entertainment expert for NBCLX. Thank you so much, ma'am. I want to, before you get out of here, as someone in the know, if I tell y'all how many times it took me to say that correctly, I have an advanced degree. Like, I have an advanced degree.
Yes, you do.
Those
two
letters.
She's
very smart, and she watches a lot of 24.
But those letters really did humble me today.
XLLX. XL
we
is
can
the kind
switch
of popcorn
it out.
You get.
Yeah. Exactly. With the jalapenos in it. Yeah. Always.
Exactly. Thank you for joining us today. We don't let you get out of here as a person in the know without giving us a recommendation, a TV show, movie that you think our audience should be on the lookout for.
Ooh. I mean, I humbly want to brag and plug my own movie that I'm in.
As
can I do
should.
That?
Yes.
I can do it for you if you want.
Oh, yes, man. Please. You did see it, actually.
Always. Well, look, I caught it at the Marina Del Rey Film Festival.
Oh.
And she stars along with a friend of the show, Roxy Stryer.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Friend of the show, Andrew Guy. So it really is a wonderful kind of coming of age movie. It's got a lot of comedy, a lot of heart to it, and some interesting societal things as well. Mm. I will say, Candace also got to screen it in your hometown recently, right?
I did, which is really
gosh,
cool.
Where's your hometown?
Kentucky, actually.
Oh my God, that's great.
It was wonderful. And I had like all my friends and family come in and just them sitting and watching it and still cringing at certain moments that I was kind of wanting them to cringe at to be like, is that what she's going to do? What's she going to do? Oh,
Candace,
that
is so dope.
It's weird
man.
When you get like your gym teacher to come watch you.
Exactly.
Now.
I mean, my gym teacher wouldn't because I very much was not that girl, but my choir teacher would have.
All my teachers were there.
Yeah.
So
that's amazing.
Had that moment.
Yeah.
So it was very real for me, but we made it into 5 different film festivals, won 3 awards, best ensemble, best director, best film.
Damn.
So really proud of that. And
you should be. Oh my God.
You can rent it next year.
Say the title again.
Always Lola.
Always Lola. You can rent it next year. Thank you so much for coming on here today. Not at all. You should definitely plug your movie.
Thank you.
That is something I would plug everywhere.
Oh wait, this year. We're in 2023 now.
Yeah, we are. It comes out
this year.
All right, folks will be able to rent it this year. Where can folks find you?
You can find me on all my social media at Candace R. Cruz.
There it is.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. I want to remind folks again, you could also be like Philip Calderon and email us at rtiswrong@rottentomatoes.com.
He
let
set
us
the bar
know.
Really high. Thank
he
you,
really
Philip.
Did.
Because this is going to cause issues. That might be when we have to bring Christian in here since he was there.
Oh. Harloff was there. He was on the scene with me. And I remember in the video, he kind of looked at me like 5 out of 5.
Really
I mean, he liked
this?
The movie.
He literally looked at you like, you want to go here?
I'll put out the bad signal. I'll
you
see if he can if he can leave his house in his wonderful podcasting empire he has going on. Speaking of divisive movies.
Yeah.
Yes.
Next week, we got a bar. We have, I mean, I don't think this movie necessarily is divisive, but it's a polarizing topic to talk about.
It is a polarizing topic.
It is the live action film, not the wonderful animated series, the live action The Last Airbender, directed by M. Night Shyamalan. He's got A Knock at the Cabin, which I'm so excited to see, coming out in February. And I hope Gerard Butler doesn't have a movie opening against that, because I want A Knock at the Cabin to be number one. And The Last Airbender, just that's a whole discussion that we're going to have next week.
Do I want to set this like candle, light this candle and walk out the door?
Do we watch this together just to get it over?
No, I've seen it.
I've seen it too, but I need to rewatch it.
We might need to rewatch it together, but I will say this. People are not going to like my opinion on this.
I can't wait.
I cannot
wait for this.
I'm excited
am
to listen.
Am I a last Airbender defender?
Oh, speaking of teases, I did tease something last week that I have to pay off. Gerard Butler in Geostorm. The one reason why I loved it, Gerard Butler is a legendary world-class scientist who drinks Coors Light while he's working
on
machines.
That is true.
There you go.
Boom.
That is a great thing. That's a great
pull.
Glad to pay that off. Again, for anyone that heard what I said about The Last Airbender and you now don't want to listen to this podcast, come back. You never know.
Don't worry. I got your back.
He probably does. But yeah, I may lose some fans next week.
No,
Candace,
never.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
But thank you all for listening. And we will see you all next week at Rotten Tomatoes Is Wrong. On behalf of Brian Perez and everyone here back at Rotten Tomatoes, thank y'all. And we'll see y'all next time. Bye.